This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Today, we're going to learn some more factors about building lasting relationships. Something that as cross-cultural Christian workers, we all need to have happen in our lives.
We've been talking about the five essentials for building lasting relationships. The first is respect. That defines the existence of any real relationship. And it is demonstrated by listening. Honesty defines the depth of any relationship, and it is defined by speaking. Commitment defines the length of any relationship, and it is demonstrated by serving. And as we learned last time, acceptance defines the enjoyment of any relationship, and it is expressed by embracing. It is the essence of best friendness. But because every relationship I have includes at least one sinner, me, it requires the fifth essential, forgiveness. I need to be forgiven, and I need to forgive. Don't you love to be forgiven? Don't you struggle to forgive? Welcome to the human race. It's the painful reality of living in a fallen, broken world. Every relationship I have includes at least one sinner, as I said, me. Therefore, every relationship I have will be imperfect and will require the frequent application of forgiveness. The Bible is a book about shattered relationships and restoration. How serious is forgiveness? Murder is often the result of a refusal to forgive. Both murder and anger are equated by Jesus and John the Apostle. In Matthew 5:21-24, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Now, those were the words of Jesus. Here are the words of John the Apostle in 1 John 3:15. "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." The principle is clear. I cannot be right with God and wrong with my brother. Let me say that again. I cannot be right with God and wrong with my brother. Forgiveness is essential and reciprocal. Essential because its absence calls one's saving faith into question. Reciprocal because we forgive because we ourselves have already been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." In answer to the question of how often and how many times must we forgive, Jesus told a parable of two debtors. Jesus made reciprocity a key factor in both our motivation as well as our obligation to forgive others. Matthew 18:21 and following. Jesus also used another parable of two debtors to teach a man named Simon a lesson about comparative forgiveness and one's own love for God and appreciation of the debt we ourselves have been forgiven of, in Luke chapter 7. A long look at the cross of Jesus will help us evaluate both the extent of our forgiveness and the cost of it. We see at the cross the undeserved nature of our own forgiveness. We see how devastatingly ugly and painful our sins really are. We see the extent of suffering and anguish and pain our own sins have caused the Holy Son of God. We get a glimpse of our own unworthiness to be forgiven, and in so doing obtain a prepared heart to receive the grace to forgive all those who have betrayed, abused, and mistreated us. Many a day we've been the betrayer, the abuser, and the mistreater. And on that awful, wonderful day, all our sins were completely punished on the Holy Son of God for our complete forgiveness. Shall we not then have a heart to forgive others equally? In light of this, Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." As we forgive. As quickly as completely as willingly as we forgive others? Do we really want to pray such a prayer? Indeed, we must, if we would be forgiven. As Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. There are many examples of incredible forgiveness in the Bible. To name just a few, Jesus, of course, interceding for the men who were putting him to death. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Stephen, who responded in the same way under the same circumstances in Acts chapter 7. And Joseph, providing for his brothers, both before and after his father's death. But perhaps one of the most outstanding and yet overlooked examples is that of Job. This most righteous of men lost every earthly thing that made life worth living, and to make matters worse, his closest friends became his most aggressive attackers. In the end, they resorted to merciless, manufactured attacks on his character and conduct. They accused him of lust, immorality, cruelty, greed, spite, and even idolatry. And then we read Job chapter 42, and don't miss this major lesson. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Think about it. God is not into disposable relationships. This immense conflict would have no doubt resulted in Job and these three men never talking to each other again, but God required them to face each other. Secondly, God intervened. He reunited these men at an altar of worship. He gave neither the friends nor Job the option of walking away. Third, God did not begin to restore Job's losses until he had reconciled with and interceded for his friends. And fourth, God knew he could count on Job to endure incredible suffering and stay faithful. And he could also count on Job to forgive and intercede for men who hurt him horribly. Perhaps this latter test was an even more severe test of his character than the first. The closer a relationship is, the greater the pain and shame of betrayal. Nothing demonstrates Job's integrity more than his willingness to forgive the betrayal of his dearest friends. And lastly, forgiveness is sealed by merciful intercession. The decision to forgive was demonstrated by Job's intercession for his friends. Instead of walking away, instead of asking God for justice, Job interceded for his friends' forgiveness. Only God could so work in a man's heart to make him so like himself in this regard. I take great comfort in knowing I have forgiven others when I ask God to bless them, forgive them, lead them, and show them mercy today. I do not need to feel all warm and fuzzy about those who have betrayed me, but I do need to release them into God's hands and seek God's mercy for them, for I too am a recipient of infinite mercy.
Thanks, Ron. We've been learning some of the factors that go into building lasting relationships, in this case, forgiveness. As cross-cultural Christian workers, loneliness is sometimes a common affliction, and that comes from not having good relationships. So that's why we need to learn how to build lasting relationships. And forgiveness is one of those essential factors. Well, I have a feeling that Ron has more to say on the subject before we wrap up this series.
Next time, We'll talk about what forgiveness is and isn't, and what it does and does not do.
That's what we'll hear next time when we think some more about building lasting relationships, something that is very important for all of us as cross-cultural Christian workers. By the way, Ron Barris is a member care person with ABWE.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.